This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
Alrighty, hour number two. We're already in it, but what the hell? It was a nice hour long hour number one here on the program. By the way, Mike, no go zones. Thank you for a little love there on the super chat. Appreciate you. He says the Sports Grill broadcast all NFL games or only the Dolphins. They do all the games. Half the TVs will be on the Dolphins. I'll give you an example. There's a guy that's a huge Chiefs fan, and he comes every week and he sits in the same table. And when the Chiefs are playing at 1 o'clock at the same time as the Dolphins, they put on the Chiefs game for him. So if there's another game you want to watch, they will put on that game. You just tell them what game you want to put on besides the Dolphins. They're not going to put it on all TVs. Obviously, the Dolphins are the ones that is going to dominate the place, but they're going to use some of the other TVs for other games. Yes, they do that. So if you have action on another game or you have another favorite team or something like that, you can ask the folks at Sports Grill, hey, can you put on the Raider game? Can you put on the Dallas game? Can you put on the whatever, you know? And they will do that for you. So, yes, Mike, you have no problem with that. They will definitely end up doing that for you, okay? Appreciate you as always. Thank you for the love on the Super Chat. Steve Mommet also gives us some love. He sends it in on Venmo. He says, happy Thanksgiving. Oh, crypto question. Biden administration isn't a fan of crypto. What do you think they might do to regulate it here in the States? All right. First of all, Steve, it is very, it's kind of the unknown what they're going to do. I can't answer that. Now, Biden is, remember, there's a problem with Biden, just like it would be with Trump, just like there would be with, you know, 89% of Congress, you know, the House or the Senate. It doesn't matter. Most of them don't know anything about crypto. So we have to hope that the people that actually do know about crypto, Ted Cruz is actually one of the fighters for crypto, because he must be smart enough to know he's investing in it. So there are certain senators that are involved in crypto, and those are the ones that are going to be key. Now, this new bill, the infrastructure bill that they just passed, there is a law that they have there that they kind of label everybody that handles crypto as a dealer, which then means we all get taxed the same way, which is a bunch of crap. They're going to change that. That will get altered, and it'll only be the exchanges that are going to be taxed in that sense, not us. Now, remember, none of this stuff kicks in till 2023 and 2024 and stuff. So it's down the line either way. So they have time now to kind of adjust all of this. And I think they will end up adjusting it, because there's a certain group of senators and congressmen that they are trying to educate people like Biden and everybody else on what crypto is and how to define it and how to actually understand who's who and what's what and how to tax this whole thing. So I think they will figure it out as time goes on, but we do have plenty of time before that actually kicks in. Okay. So you're going to have a couple of bull markets to take advantage of before that kicks in. So that would be my suggestion, is focus on the now. Don't worry about the later until later on. Okay. That's what I would tell you. But it's really unpredictable to answer who the hell or what the hell, what kind of changes they're actually going to make. Let's see. Big O needs a mental break. Nah, I'm good. I'm fine. I just kind of lose it a little bit when people ask something so unrealistic that they really would never do themselves. You know, that to me is the part that is, it's just insulting, you know? NorCal says, Big O, I'm a fan for life, and I'm willing to see what B-Flow can do to get back on track. Greer and B-Flow had nothing but compliments until week two this year. Fins for life.
Well, yeah and no. Compliments for the first 2 years, but we knew that they had offensive line issues with their coaches, right, NorCal? And we knew they've had offensive coordinator issues since day one. Gailey put a little bit of it to rest, but then he left. Right? So my point to anybody that says, including you, NorCal, that says, well, no, I'm willing to be patient, but where's your proof? You know, well, where's the proof that says that Brian Flores is going to actually resolve these issues? He hasn't been able to do it for 3 years. And Greer tried to help him with Chan Gailey. That wasn't his move. That was Greer helping him with Chan Gailey. So what's the deal? Greer tried to help him with Fitz, yet he wants Brissett. He wants a three-headed monster, amigos, whatever you want to call, blind mice, whatever you want, as offensive coordinators. That's what I always come back on to the people that tell me, well, no, let's be patient. Oh, and wait one more year. What are we waiting for? I'm trying to, that's the part I'm not understanding with all of you out there. Are you really thinking that he's going to fix this? Next offseason, he's going to find a seasoned pro as an offensive line coach, and he's going to find a proven offensive coordinator to turn everything around. Is that what you're telling me? And that's the part that I think all of you, when you say, well, let's be patient, and I say this, you say to me this, right? You got no answer. You got no answer. You got no proof. You got no track record. You got nothing. So you're going through the blind-ass fan route. Those of you that want to say, oh, I want to be patient, like my man NorCal. No, I want to be patient. I want to hang on one more year. I want to wait and see. I want to give Flo a chance. You're being a blind-ass fan?
Blind-ass fan alert. Look out, everyone. We've got a blind-ass fan coming through.
That's the reality, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reality. You're waiting for what? Where's the proof? New headphones, righto? Early Christmas present? Maybe that's why everyone thinks he got a haircut and more of the head of yours is exposed because of the new headphones, maybe. These headphones, I've had them on for how many months now? I don't know. But yeah, these are remote headphones. They're my remote headphones. These are my Iron Maiden or remote headphones. I bought them, I don't know, like a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. And I've been using them now for the last couple of months. If you go look at any of the shows, you'll see the headphones on. They've been on any of my road appearances. We've been using these headphones for the last couple of months. So, yeah, it's my Iron Maiden headphones. So, nope. You just noticed those phones, but I've had them on for a little bit. JP says EJD Construction could build a better team for the Dolphins than Chris Greer. Well, they could build a better line right now, that's for sure. Because, you know, the good thing about Eric is he'll put up a whole bunch of bricks, and, you know, they're not going to get through a brick wall. So, there you go. That's the beauty of it. And he'll put, you know, those steel rods through it and all kinds of levels of concrete, and we'll stop all those big fat guys. So you're right about that. I'll say it again. He's going to go somewhere else as a defensive coordinator. That's fine. Let him go somewhere else. He's going to go back to Coach Belichick. Don't forget one of our all-time favorites, Yetiel Green, Big O, Jimmy's prize wide receiver he drafted. That's right. That's right. Well, he's the second best wide receiver drafted, because remember, Larry Shannon will be as good as Randy Moss, according to Jimmy Johnson. Let's see. What else do we have here? Big O, serious question, because I'm only 37. When was the last time you felt confident as a Finns fan? Oh, it had to have been the Marino years, my brother. And before Jimmy, because Jimmy destroyed Marino and the offense, but it had to have been the Shula Marino times, dude. Yeah, even though we knew we didn't have a running game and not a great defense and all that, not even a good defense, that was when we had confidence because it's Marino, dude. Marino could light anybody up and you had a chance. You literally had a chance in every game because of Dan Marino. That was the beauty. So that's the last time that I was confident as a Dolphins fan because I had the coach and I had the quarterback. And I would imagine that if most Dolphin fans that are old enough, of course, I think they would all agree with me because I don't believe we ever really had confidence in any other era. Not the Jimmy era, not the Wanstead era, not Cam Cameron, not Sperano, not anything. Gase, you name it. None of these guys, Philbin, whatever, none of these guys ever instilled confidence in me as a Dolphin. I was starting to get it a little bit with Flo. I will say that. I was starting to get it and feel a little bit of it with Flo, but it just wasn't there because of the offense. And, you know, this year has kind of been like the nail in the coffin with the whole offensive, you know, mess. Let's see, because I'm trying to understand how we can be bad for so long. Look at the Detroit Lions, my brother. Look at the Chicago Bears. Although the Bears did win it in 85. Dolphins were the only ones to beat them that year. But, yeah, I know it's happened to a couple teams that have been bad for a long, long time. So there you go. Trump was a lot better. People just got butthurt. I don't know about that. Now, all I know is he's also an anti-crypto guy. And if you don't know that, then, you know, you just don't follow anything. You just are probably a blind Trumpy. Biden doesn't even know where he is half the time. Yeah, no, you're right about that. And he, and the other half, he's also tripping and falling all over himself. But he's good at giving away money. He's really good at that. There's a part of me that like kind of feels like guilty that I didn't cash in on all that money that they gave out. Like, I'm so old school, I never filed for a penny. It's like, damn, maybe I should have done that too, you know? Let's see. Big O, as detestable as he is, would you hire Dan Mullen as Dolphins OC? He is a big RPO guy and can design an offense for Tua. You know what, Leon? As long as he doesn't have to talk every week and just keep him shut up and keep him in the background running the offense, yeah, that actually wouldn't Leon, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
But then we'd have to do the co-coordinator thing again.
Oh, God.
His coordinators have to talk once a week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, you know what? Flo will make a special thing that they'll say, well, we're going to have Charlie Fry just answer questions, even though he's not really the offensive coordinator. So Charlie will be the designated. Well, you know, the Dolphins had a receiver once that didn't want to talk to the media, and he had another fellow receiver talk for him. So we can bring that back. And that's it, because you really don't want Dan Mullen talking. You just don't want Dan Mullen opening his mouth, bro. Because, yeah, I know the media is going to love Dan Mullen opening his mouth because he says some really stupid things. You know what I'm saying? All right. Let's twist this thing. Let's get to talking a little college football with the man, the myth, the legend that is Manny Navarro. We do that next.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
The viewpoints, statements, or beliefs expressed on the following program by the host, guests, or callers are not necessarily the opinions of FantasyXS.com, Media Group, Inc., ownership, management, sponsors, or website. time for Canes fans to get what they want. Information, insight, and perspective. It's the Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes Report with Manny Navarro, exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. Here's Big O and insider Manny Navarro.
Alrighty, welcome back. Let's do it, baby. The Canes look to wrap up the regular season this weekend, taking on Duke. Manny Navarro, of course, does an excellent job of covering the Miami Hurricanes. And, of course, it's our Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes Report. Catch Manny's work there at The Athletic, and you can catch him a couple times a week here talking a little Canes football. Manny, how you feeling? You feeling all right?
Doing great, man. How are you? Have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes, bro, yes. Plenty of turkey last night, which was so good. And I can't wait to get home to have the leftovers now.
Cause right.
You know you got to have the leftovers, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
the only thing is I'm not going to have any maluros or any boniato when I get there. So that's already gone. But the rice and beans will be – usually the beans taste better the next day, bro.
They do. They right? do. It's a great point. Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to a little turkey and leftovers when I get home, man. So anyway, hope you had a good one too with the
family,
my brother.
All right. We did.
That's good. This is one of those weeks where – I mean, you should take care of business. This shouldn't be the hard. This should be one of the easier games for you on the schedule. In other words,
right?
Duke's not very good, my brother.
No, they're pretty bad. And it's funny. In the preseason for The Athletic, I ended up writing the preview on Duke, and I spoke to a couple of their coaches, and you know, for them, they had done a really good job recruiting, getting some guys on offense over the years, which is why they ended up winning the division. They got some South Florida kids, if you remember, at receiver, and they had some playmakers. And, you know, I thought David Cutcliffe did probably the best job of any coach at Duke, right, with what he did with them over the years. But they're kind of reaching the tail end of their run, you know. They don't have the Daniel Jones at quarterback. They don't have some of the other kids that they've put in the NFL over the years. And so it's a very, like, look, 48-0 last year to the same Miami team. I expect something similar to that. I think it'll be another blowout tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping, man. And I got to tell you, it's become must-see TV watching Van Dyke, because
yep.
that kid is just going to unleash the hammer, bro.
Yeah. I mean,
we should call him Thor, the Thor of quarterback, because he comes with the hammer every week, bro. It's just –
He's fun to watch. He has really grown quite a bit here in the matter of 5 weeks, and the confidence level shot through the roof. And he's got good receivers, right? Charleston yes. Rambles making good catches for him.
But he's got accuracy, bro. You don't teach that, Manny. You don't teach that. I'm sorry, you don't.
Because
as much as I like this other kid, De'Aaron King, he's not half the passer this guy is.
Right. Arm strength, accuracy, all those things.
Yeah.
And he's and what's exciting about Tyler is we still don't know how good he can get, right? Like he's just played eight. I mean, this is what, 7-8 starts for him?
Yeah.
Like, and really you would say just the last five games, because the first two games they were very conservative with him. And then because they had to be aggressive, all of a sudden they let him cut it loose in the second half of those two losses to Virginia and North Carolina. But let's see where this guy goes in the offseason, what kind of improvement he makes. You know, to me, he is probably the first. I mean, Brad Kyle was somebody I think we all had high hopes for. Obviously, couldn't, you know, back injury, career cut short. He never really got on in the NFL. But I think this guy is legitimate, you know, NFL talent. I think he can play quarterback for an NFL team.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got NFL skills, man. There's no doubt in my mind that guy's got NFL. And he's got NFL moxie. That's the other thing that he plays the game fearless.
Yep.
And I really like that about him, because if you're going to be conservative as a quarterback, I don't want you, dude. I just, you know, it's just not going to happen, because there are moments that the windows are going to be tight and you're going to have to complete it. And there are times you're going to have to take some chances. If you're going to wait every time that somebody has to be wide open for you to throw it to them, then you're not going to be a very good quarterback in the end. And what I like about him is, he has that temperament that maybe does translate to the next level, because he is willing to take chances.
Yeah. And the other thing I like about him is he's not a statue, right? Like, even though he's been sacked a few times,
he can move around. Yeah.
He uses the pump fake. He gets guys to bite, dive at him. I mean, he can run with the ball and make plays. So To me, he's even better than I thought he would be, to be honest with you. I thought Jake Garcia would eventually overtake him. I can't see that happening now if he keeps, you know, improving the way that he is. And Jake Garcia, by the way, I think is a great quarterback too. I felt better about Jake coming out of the spring than I did TVD. I think once he gets healthy, there'll be a great competition. And man, I hope for Miami's sake they both stick around, because that would be fabulous to have back-to-back years of really good quarterback play.
Should you have a competition?
I think for the kid to stick around, you should. And for Jake to get for TVD to get better, I think you say those kind of things so that
You say it, yes.
You I say those it. Kind of things so that those guys don't compete. But ultimately, if TVD is – I mean, he to me, has he proven that he deserves to be the starter next year? Yes, I think without question. But I think your goal as a program ultimately is to keep both of those guys, because we've seen you can get knocked out, you lose that quarterback, and you're a completely different team, you know? So
yeah, no, I'm with you there. Manny, what have you heard since we last spoke to you earlier in the week about Diaz's situation? A lot of people are feeling that he may survive. Yeah. Is that a feeling that is now starting to circulate in your eyes?
I mean, I think it's just opinions. You know, I think people have different opinions on the matter, you know, and you know, I think the moment you fired Blake James and you came out to the media, me and others included, and said, hey, we're going to spend money. You do that because you're A, trying to get the fan base excited, right? And B, I think you're also trying to put the message to potential coaches that you're serious about improving the situation of the University of Miami, right? Because the knock on Miami has always been, well, they're not going to spend. You're not going to be able to hire a great staff. You're not going to be able to have all the things that you would have at an Oregon or Mississippi or some other places. And I think that message was strategically played for the fact that if they can land a better coach, they will. That's been my opinion the whole time. I think if they can get the better coach, they will. But if they can't get the guys that they really want, my opinion is they stick with Manny Diaz. And there's no rush to fire him. Like, you could fire him on Sunday or Saturday, but the reality is the coaches that you probably want are coaching their teams through their bowl games. So you could hold on to him for different reasons and let him coach the bowl game and then make the firing afterward. So number one is athletic director. They got to settle that. That's the guy who's ultimately going to break the tie in all these decisions going on behind the scenes. And, you know, to me, it's a very small contingent of people who really have a say in this. I know everybody thinks, oh, the board of trustees and this guy who gives this money and this guy who gives that money. It's President Frank, his two dudes, and one other person that are involved, four people that are making the decisions here. And I think if they get some sort of guarantee or some sort of feeling that they can get the coaches they really want, I think they let go of Manny. And if not, he comes back. And, you know, you play it that way. That's my opinion. That's the way I view it.
Remember, you can follow him on Twitter, and that is at Manny_Navarro. Manny, when you start to look at the possible changes, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what else have you been able to hear about that? Because I think what we're all trying to figure out is, would they actually spend the money that they need to spend? Because that's really the ultimate question. And then as you've seen the landscape grow with other big schools needing coaches themselves, do you see them competing with those schools for the same two or three guys that are going to be available? And those guys are going to be asking for a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, the notion was, what I was told November 2nd and what I reported November 2nd was simple. Money will not be an issue, according to the Miami administration. Now, does that mean we're going to expect a commitment forever, that they're going to put it in writing somewhere, that every year we're giving the athletic program $30 million, $40 million, $50 million to make sure that the football team doesn't fall apart? I don't know that that's going to be written anywhere. I think this is more about the school president getting called out on national television on ESPN and saying, you know what, we're going to do something about this because, you know, I got people who want to wring my neck for other reasons, and I got to look strong in this situation. And I think his commitment goes as far as he goes, because the next president, whoever it is down the road comes in, they could come in and run Miami the way it used to be run. But for right now, this commitment is, I think, for a potential coaching change and whatever it takes to get the football team to win. Beyond that, I can't sit here through my reporting and my conversations with Miami's administration say that I know that there's any fixed number that everybody's agreed to. That there's going to be 30 or 40 million coming every year, I think is presumptive. That's not I don't think that's necessarily accurate.
Well, I mean, that's to me, that's going to be the challenge, right? Right there. Mm-hmm. That if you make this change, you got to convince the public that you're not hiring another Manny, another Golden, another Shannon.
Right. Right.
You know,
I agree. I think this is about, if you can land the kind of coach that you want, the guy that's going to come in here and take you to that level where you win the Coastal Division every single year, or you're nearly every single year, you're playing for the ACC Championship, you're getting into the College Football Playoff. I think that is the vision for what this program wants. That's the goal, right? But you can't just fire Manny Diaz and say, well, we're going to get somebody better, and then go hire a guy from, I don't know, Coastal Carolina, right? You can't just go hire a guy at a G5 and say, well, that's going to solve the issues. I think this is about getting a proven head coach in here, a guy who can win, the guy who can recruit South Florida, keep the kids home, even when you're struggling, even in a situation right now, a guy who can work the transfer portal, a guy who just knows how to get it done, Big O. I mean, that's it. Like, there's no excuses. There's no reason Miami shouldn't win the division every year. I mean, when Pittsburgh and North Carolina, Virginia Tech are your biggest competition every single year, you should be able to beat those teams and win the division. That's just a fact.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Listen, this is the frustrating part for all of us, man. We know that they make the money. We know that they can spend the money if they really wanted to. We know they should be a lot better than what they are. But the problem is, until we see, and this has been a problem for decades now, right, until we actually see the administration embrace and care football as much as the fans and the media do, right, then we'll believe it. You know what I'm saying? But meanwhile, we're all sitting there waiting for that day to come that they show that kind of commitment, because unfortunately, they could get away with a lot of crap back in the day because money wasn't the factor it is now. Right. Now that money's the factor, there's another game that needs to be played, whether Absolutely. It's just paying your coaches or your facilities or your amenities and all that other stuff that all of a sudden now has become – I mean, who the hell cared about Nike school 30 years ago? You know what I'm saying?
Nobody did, right?
Nobody was talking about, are you an Under Armour school, a Nike, a Reebok? Oh, you know, kids love Nike. So you got to want to try to be Nike because they'll gravitate more into Nike. None of that mattered in the 80s and 90s.
Uniforms, remember all the crazy uniform combinations? Yeah. Oh, the kids, that's what they care about now, right? They want the
materials. Yep. And you weren't materialistic in those days. In those days, it was just flat out about winning. So that's why all these old school guys are having trouble with all of this, because they didn't come to the University of Miami because of a facility. They didn't come to the University of Miami because you've got 9 uniforms. They came to the University of Miami because you were winning championships.
And because you'd go to the first round.
And you would end up in the NFL because you were playing for championships. That's not the priority anymore, because in order for you to use that as a priority, then money and amenities have to be also your priority. And that's where the University of Miami has just lagged behind and failed.
Yep. And you know, again, I was talking to somebody last night about this. They said, well, why, you know, what happened? When did things change? I said, well, the moment they got into the ACC, they just started cashing those checks and building buildings. Right. I mean, oh, you went down to Miami. Remember how small the Hecht Athletic Center used to be?
Joke.
The media office where we would hang out to wait for practice to end. I mean, that whole thing was just it was tiny. It was nothing. The weight room was nothing.
Right.
And they've spent all that money building the buildings around it and making it nice and making it pretty. But they never put the money into the coaching. Not nearly enough. Not nearly enough to give the guys that are running the team the materials that they need to win, and not hiring the quality guys that you need to win. And that requires money too. So I look, if the school is serious about this commitment, like I told you guys on November 2nd, when I reported that story, that supposedly this is what they said, money's not an issue. Then things are going to get better and you should be happy as a Miami fan, because that's what the school's saying. And I think at this point for them to backtrack, I mean, the amount of egg on their face at that point, right, to all of a sudden not spend money. So just sit tight, relax. This is the last regular season game. We'll see what happens once the athletic director is hired, which will probably happen at some point next week or the week after. And we'll see. We'll see what that guy decides and what he wants and how serious they are about winning.
Well, Leon Fresco sent in a little super chat. Thank you, Leon, as always. He says, does Manny prefer the Sun Bowl or the Charlotte Mayo Bowl?
Boy.
So what bowl
game? I've been to El Paso twice, brother.
Yeah, no, I know. I've been El Paso. I was my car broke down. So I'm coming back from San Francisco in a 280ZX, okay? This is a long time ago. This is almost like 25 years ago or something like that. 97, in other words. So yeah, about 25 years ago, 24 years ago. So we're coming back from San Francisco, and we're doing this whole thing. I go, you know, to LA, and then we went over to the Grand Canyon. We hung out for a night, and then we leave the Grand Canyon. So my wife drives, right? And I rest a little bit. So all of a sudden, I hear, and I wake up, and she slammed on the brakes, and we're stopped. And I look around, and we are in the middle of nowhere, right?
Right.
And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I panicked. I thought the stop sign was closer. Meanwhile, the stop sign is still 40 yards away. She never reached the stop sign. And then she starts crying all of a sudden. And I look at her and I go, hey, relax. Everything's fine. You just stopped and we're good. No accidents, no nothing. Relax. You don't need to cry. She goes, no, I broke the car. And I go, what do you mean you broke the car? She goes, yeah, look at the clutch. And I look down and she hits the clutch and it's going like this.
Oof. Oof.
So luckily, I grew up with a trucker. My dad was a trucker for many, many years. So he taught me how to drive stick without a clutch.
Mm.
So I know how to drive a stick car without a clutch.
Okay.
Where you accelerate, and then as it's decelerating, that's when you bring it into the next gear. And it's one of those things that you feel anyway.
Right.
So I go, hey, relax. Don't worry. We'll figure it out. So I put the car into first gear, and that's how you got to start it. You got to put it in first gear and start it. It'll kick off.
Right.
And so I kicked off. I took off. I drove for 900 miles.
Woo. God bless you.
Clutch. Okay. We stopped in San Antonio before El Paso because, you know, it's San Antonio, then El Paso.
Right.
So that's how it is, right? Or is it El Paso, San Antonio?
El Paso's further west. So, yeah, I would assume El Paso first. Right.
It's El Paso first, then San Antonio. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So we got to El Paso. That's what it was. We got to El Paso and we got to the Nissan dealership there. Okay, we pull into the Nissan dealership, and I have them check on the car. And they go, yeah, we know what's wrong with it. You need this piece. We don't have it. It's a $24 piece of plastic that my wife broke in the clutch. And so they go, well, they have it in San Antonio. Well, sure enough, I got in the car and I finished my 900 and some odd mile trek to San Antonio, and I ended up fixing it. So I do remember El Paso.
You passed right through it.
I smelled right through it.
Right.
Let's put it the right way, okay?
Yeah.
What people don't realize is the second you come right out of El Paso for about 40 miles, it's just cattle.
Yep, pretty much. Manure everywhere. Yep.
And exactly. For 40 miles, you are smelling crap.
Yep. Okay. Yep. It's true.
Yeah, I know. On Lee Trevino Drive. Woo. I remember seeing Lee Trevino Drive there in El Paso because I learned that Lee Trevino was from El Paso.
Yep.
I didn't know that until I saw Lee Trevino Drive in El Paso. So there's my El Paso story when I was in a 280ZX back in 97.
Hey, brother, listen, El Paso, when I was there, was the Notre Dame game when it was snowing, remember? That game, Miami-Notre Dame, that was the game Al Golden was introduced as the next coach to the media. And whatever, like it was okay. I've been in other terrible towns. Listen, I was, where was I 2 years ago? In Louisiana. Where the Independence Bowl is. That's no picnic either, bro. It's not New Orleans.
You've done Boise too, right? You've done Boise.
I didn't go to Boise. Thankfully, I didn't have to go to Boise. I've been to a bunch of places, cities where you don't want to go for a bowl game. So for me, it doesn't matter. I'm skipping Durham this week. I'm not going up to Duke for the game. I'm going to watch it from home. Really no reason to be there. If they fire Manny, we're not going to get him after the game. So,
Right. And if they fire, anyways, they'll fire him down here. They're not going to fire him there.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Unless Duke goes and embarrasses you by 30 points, then yeah, maybe they might fire him right there.
Right. Then,
so, yeah, you need a hitchhike home, bro.
They'll make him take an Uber back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I say, call the Panthers. They'll call you a taxi. I don't know, something like that. You know, it'll do something like that. All right. So you got a prediction. What's 10, 15,
yeah, I think points? Miami wins by 28.
Okay.
28. Wow. I think they beat them pretty good. I think it should be something like 42-14 or something like that, probably.
Okay. All right. Beautiful thing. All right. Follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro and catch him twice a week here for the Caneswear Miami Hurricanes Report. Manny, as always, you're a stud. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
Same to you. Happy holidays, peeps.
You got it. There you go, Manny. Be good. Happy holidays, my man. All right. Daniel Grafton says, V-Chain, jump on it. You're right. I did this morning. I jumped on it. I wasn't planning on jumping on it that much, but I did after I sold all my shit accidentally. All right. That has been the Caneswear Miami Hurricanes Report.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
All right, we are back. Thank you all, as always, for hanging in there. Appreciate all of you. We are out here at Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines, baby. We will take you here for a little while more. We got Omar Kelly. He's going to join us on the other side of this hour. So we'll have a little fun with Omar. And we'll get his thoughts on some of the things going on in Dolphin Nation. Trill Williams, by the way, was injured at practice and will not play this week, according to Brian Flores. I'm looking at here on the Twitter. Preston Williams, by the way, Flores says, physically, Preston Williams looks the same. He's been out quite a bit, so those fundamentals, you have to get to get those back, which he has done. I haven't seen him fundamentally sound yet because he still drops too many balls. What else do we have here? Also, Flores says Bigo is doing well and he's looked good in practice, moving around well. I really love the activation of Vince Bigo. Now, he hasn't played football in a while, so he's got to get into football shape. But, man, he added so much to the pass rush. I really like him. Shaheen is out for Sunday for the Finns. I mean, this guy, you know what? Another one of those Devontae Parker types. At the end of the year, get rid of his ass. You can't count on him. Hunter Long will get a chance. Philip Lindsay practiced today for the first time in full pads. Flores was non-committal on whether Holland, Brandon Jones, and Dieter will play on Sunday. He says, today will tell us a lot on Holland and Jones. So we'll see. I think they both will play, man. I don't think this is I think they might be a little banged up, but I think Jones and Holland do end up playing. I don't know about Dieter because, remember, he is coming back from an injury, and it looks like he might have had some kind of surgery or whatever. So, you know, you got to be a little easier with a guy like that who's got to get back. Now, he has been practicing for a couple of weeks, so maybe, just maybe, he has, you know, at least physically what he – you know, maybe he's comfortable enough to put him back into the lineup, which would be good. Let's see, what else do we have? Also, Brian Flores wore a mask to the press conference. So I guess he was precautionary. Interesting to see him wearing a mask. I haven't seen him wearing a mask in a while. Huh? Oh, yeah, the paper one. All right, so those are some of the things I saw on Twitter. That came from the press conference. We are going to have Omar Kelly join us here on the other side, and he will we'll get his thoughts on all of that, because you got Holland and Jones banged up. They signed Will Parks, a safety off the San Francisco practice squad. Landon Roberts and Christian Wilkins were limited. You know that Trill Williams is not going to play with a hamstring. They claimed Philip Lindsay off the waivers from the Texans. And Philip Lindsay, let me tell you something. Just in case any of you out there might, you know, start getting excited or something about Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay is a overachiever. He's one of those guys you admire because he's a small guy that's overcome a lot in order to get here. But because he's a small guy, I've never really been a fan of Philip Lindsay because he's not durable enough and he breaks down. I remember when I was doing the, you know, one of the many shows that I did on Sirius Mad Dog Radio, a Bronco listener called me and said, "Hey, do you think we should sign Philip Lindsay and give him a?" And I said, "No, I don't think you would. You give a guy like that a long-term contract because a guy like that can't stay healthy, and that's a problem. If he can't stay healthy, then he can't help you. And so he's not big enough to handle the pounding and be a featured back. So no, I would not sign him." And that was the best thing they did was I believe they had an offer on the table and then they rescinded the offer on the table in the middle of the negotiations and then allowed him to become a free agent. If I remember correctly, not sure how it went, but I know it was something like that. So listen, they don't have a great line. So I don't know how good anybody can be behind this line. You know what I mean? Like I told you earlier on the show, unless we're talking about a Ricky Williams, a Barry Sanders type, you're going to need a freak back there. But a freak that is a freak physically, athletically, you know, all of those things. It can't be somebody that lacks size or lacks athleticism or lacks speed. It has to be somebody that is exceptional in all areas. You know, we're talking about an elite back. That's the only way somebody is really productive behind a line that just cannot block the way it needs to block down in and down out. So it's a nice, a nice depth move at this point in time to finish out the season, but he's not the answer for anything on a long-term basis, Philip Lindsay. But, you know, whatever. Zach Thomas, by the way, once again, a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Maybe we'll get into a little bit more of that. Let's do this. Let's take a break because we're at the top of the hour, and let's get ready for the final hour of the program. And Omar Kelly will join us when we come back right here on the Big O Radio Show, coming to you live from Craig Zins, Acura of Pembroke Pines.